Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning in Jesus' name. It's good to be in God's house. It's good to be here with you all this morning too, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we're excited to meet here and to hear what God has for us in his word today. And so we welcome you. We welcome our visitors. We're glad that you could be here with us too. Feel free to sign our guest book in the back if you would like, or you can fill out a blue card in your pews and pass that off in the offering plate. That's a way for us to get to know you a little bit better, too. If you have any prayer requests that you would like prayed for later on in the service, fill out a yellow card and hand that off to the ushers, and they will get that to me as well. Just a few prayer requests for you while we are talking about that. Keep Mabel Johnson in your prayers. She's fighting a little bit of a bug right now. Around for that if you would like to. We are back to our regular 8 p.m. basketball time here tonight at the Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd, and so make a note of that if you would like to be there. Right after the service today, we're having a brief, what we're just calling a music meeting, and basically the meeting is for any of you who are involved currently in any of our music ministry, leading the songs, the sound and video technicians up in the balcony, and then also any of you who might like to be involved in any of these ministries, whether it be playing instruments, playing the piano, running anything up there, leading the singing, so forth. We're wanting to kind of open that up to those who might be interested, and then get some feedback from you on some different things that we are talking about starting as well. And so please stick around for that. We promise, I promise, maybe I shouldn't speak for the Music and Worship Committee, my goal, I'll say it that way, my hope is that we don't have to be here too long, that we can get you out in plenty of time for lunch here after the service. But we want to give at least 10 or 20 minutes if we can to talk about some of these things regarding our very important and wonderful music ministry. So that's happening right after the service. Just give it maybe 10 minutes to go grab some coffee and then come back if you can here after we get done this morning. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. Lent starts this week already, and so it's kind of crazy that that's here upon us already, but we begin that 6:30 p.m. services starting this week now for the next several weeks leading up to Holy Week and then Easter, and so feel free to come to that. We would invite you all to be here for those evening services on Wednesdays. We are doing a Lenten rotation with a couple of other churches and pastors from Jamestown and Abercrombie. There's a note in your bulletin about that, so feel free to read that as well. And then you can see next Sunday then regular worship service. We are also starting a new member class. So if any of you who aren't members who are interested in becoming members, please talk to me. If you don't get a chance to talk to me, still come next week. If you are not a member and don't really think you want to join but would like to know more about our church, you are invited to come also. The classes will start about 9 o'clock. We say 8:45, but there's coffee and fellowship and chatting time. We usually don't get started till about 9. It's going to be in one of the classrooms down this hallway, the far hallway here on the west side of the building. And so come find us there between 8:45 and 9 starting next week for the next, usually it goes about 5 or 6 weeks. And perfect attendance is not required. Again, if you're interested in knowing more about the church, please come. We'd love to have you. If you get a chance, let me know that you're coming so that I can have enough materials on hand as well. I think that's all the announcements that I have. Are there any others that I missed that need to be made? And if not, then let's hear our call to worship this morning. Good to be in God's word here, and this is from Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before him with singing. This is one reason we open our service with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. Let's stand together and sing our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you. Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome. This morning we're starting off with a song called Praise Ye the Father. And it's just, to me, as I was thinking about this song, it's mainly an invitation or a command, if you will, to other Christians to praise God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which is always a blessed thing to do, to not only think about your own faith and your own walk with God, but to think about inviting others to praise him with you, because God has always intended to bless us, not only as individuals, but as the body of Christ. So, in the hymnal will be number 136, or the words will be on the screen as well.
Be singing Face to Face with Christ My Savior, and you'll find that in your hymnal, number 623.
Face to face with Christ My Savior, face to face, what will it be? I shall behold him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Only faintly now I see him with the darkened veil between. Blessed day is coming when his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory I shall see. In his presence, when our banished grief and pain,
Psalm 77:13 says, "Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? O great God."
Great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. Own it all and reign supreme. Conquer every rebel power. Let no vice of sin remain that resists your holy.
We're talking about the transfiguration of Christ today, the time when he was up on the mountain with three of his disciples and his body was glorified, and the disciples saw a different side, a different part of Jesus that they had not seen before. When they looked at him, when they saw him, and I was thinking here this morning of one of the most difficult passages or verses in the Bible for me personally that frankly cuts me to the core, and it's the verse in Luke when Jesus was on trial, he was being beaten, and Peter had just denied Jesus for the third time after he had proudly said he would never do that. And the verse there, it's a very short verse. It just says that Peter looked and he and Jesus made eye contact, and I looked at him and I saw him, and it says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. To see the Savior suffering and dying for you is a hard picture to look at. It's a raw picture. It cuts us to the core, and it's important for us to deal with that, to see Christ for who he is, as the one who had to die for us, but then as the one who was willing to die for us, who wanted to do that. And that's where his love and his grace and mercy come in. And so I would invite you to spend this time now in confession of sin, to honestly and openly confess your sins in the time of silence, to pray to God and to acknowledge your sin, your fault, and then to hear words of gospel too, that he does forgive you. So join me in that. You'll find the words of confession printed on the screen. They're also in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you to confess that we have sinned against you in our words, actions, and our thoughts. We come to ask your forgiveness and to seek your great mercy. We come to you in the merits of Jesus Christ, not our own. Look not upon our sins or iniquity, but wash us in the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we may be clean before you. This we pray in his name. Amen. Reading from John chapter 11, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. The disciples saw Jesus in his glorified state on that mountain, and that glorified state was made real and permanent when he rose from the grave, when he conquered sin and death and devil for eternity for you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is my joy and privilege to declare to you today that our God forgives our sins because of the faithfulness and righteousness of Christ. We thank him and we praise him for that today. Amen. This time I'm going to call on Carrie Meskey to read our scripture.
The Old Testament for this Sunday is from Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 through 18. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 through 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Epistle lesson is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men, or man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Thus ends the reading.
Let's confess our faith together, saying, "This is what we believe," using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. This time I'll call on the ushers to wait upon us. We do have a children's message this morning, so I'll call on the kiddos here to come up at this time. Come on up, find a seat. A few more coming up. While you're getting settled, I have a surprise for you today. But I have to go get it, so can you sit tight? Do you promise to behave? Okay, because everybody's watching you. Okay, I'll be right back. Okay. Here we go. Okay, I've got a special friend here. He's a mystery guest. Or a she. It might be a he or a she. We don't know. We can't see. Shh. Okay. And so I'm going to ask this mystery friend of ours a few questions because we can't see who they are. How old are you, mystery friend? 10. Okay. 10 years old. Do you have any brothers or sisters? I think I heard a mm-hmm, so that means yes. And what color is your hair? Blonde hair, 10 years old, has brothers and sisters. How many brothers and sisters? Two, maybe we can get some help from you guys. What color are this person's shoes? Black, he's wearing jeans, or she's wearing, is it a boy or a girl?
Boy.
Does anybody know who it is?
Josiah.
Everybody knows, and voila, it is. Thank you for helping, Josiah, with your staticky hair now. That wasn't part of the deal. That was Josiah. Now, how did you guys know it was Josiah? Because that's how he looked in Sunday school. But you couldn't see his face. His pants and his shoes. Okay, so that makes sense. How else did you know it was Josiah? How tall, how old, his shoes. Okay, those shoes are giveaways, I guess. His voice, yeah, we heard his voice, didn't we? So we could kind of tell from that, too. But we didn't see his face either. And, you know, we're talking about something, a big word called transfiguration today. Okay? Yes. One of the words in the cloud. There you go. So you're learning about it in the children's bulletin. That's good. And what that was, what happened was, Jesus took three of his friends, his disciples. Do you guys remember these guys? Peter, James, and John. And they went up to the top of this mountain, and then all of a sudden Jesus changed. Okay, do you guys know how he changed? How did he change? Does anybody have any idea? It's okay if you say no. No. Okay, it says that his clothes changed, so they were like shiny white, and he was really bright, and two other people from heaven came and stood with him and were talking with him, and it looked like he was a totally different person, and the disciples had never seen Jesus like this before. They had never seen that part of him. okay? It was very eye-opening. It was very revealing to them. What they saw was Jesus, the divine nature, that he was also God. And they hadn't seen that really before, at least with their eyes. It was new for them, okay? And the reason why that happened, or one of the reasons why, was to show the disciples that Jesus was not just man, that he was also God. Because do you know what? He was about to do something very important. Does anybody know what he was about to do? Die on the cross. And when he was going to die on the cross, it was going to look very sad for the disciples. When the disciples looked at Jesus on the cross, it was going to be very sad. And this helped them to remember, or ought to have helped them to remember, that he was also God. And then they could see him like he would be when he rose again from the dead. Now, my question for you is, have you guys ever seen Jesus' face? No, we haven't seen Jesus' face. But do we know what Jesus is like? What is Jesus like? Loving, okay. What else? That's a good answer. Kind. What else? Generous, is that what you said? Mm-hmm. Friendly. Loving, kind, generous, friendly. He's always good to others, that's right. A few more. Strong. Yep, go ahead, Grant. What's that? Honest. Forgiving. He's with us. There, we'll end there, because that's a really good one too. All of those were really good answers after we're done, okay? Those are all really good answers. How do we know all those things? Because we've never seen Jesus. We've never seen his face. How do we know it? The Bible tells us. The Bible gives us a really, really good picture of who Jesus is and what he's like so that we know that that's who Jesus is. But did you know that there's going to come a time when you will see him face to face? Yeah, it's in heaven, and it's going to be the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Okay, because you're going to get to actually see his face. We get to see parts of him now, just like with Josiah. You know, we could see his shoes, and we could see his pants, and we could hear his voice. Okay, we could see how tall he was, I think one of you mentioned. But we couldn't see all of him. But when we get to heaven, we're going to get to see all of Jesus. And it's going to be the most beautiful and spectacular thing because we'll see him for who he is, as God and as the Savior. Okay, and that's a wonderful thing to be excited about. Thanks for coming up. You guys can go sit down. We do have a hymn here this morning now to sing instead of special music. And so I will ask you to turn in your hymnals to hymn number 140, Praise to the Father, the Glorious King. Our gospel text this morning is in the book of Matthew. I would invite you, if you have your Bibles with you, to turn there with me. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9, excuse me. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. Let's stand together, please, out of respect for God's word. Matthew chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light, and behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one this vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. These are your words, Father in heaven. Thank you so much for them. Bless them, set them apart in our hearts as truth. I'm so glad, Lord, that your word is true. I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts gathered here this morning, would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Have you heard about the man who sued his wife because she gave birth to an ugly daughter? Can you believe that? If you can't believe it, it's because it's probably not true. But that's a headline that was originally published in a Chinese newspaper, the man who sued his wife because she gave birth to an ugly daughter. The internet grabbed it a few years ago and it went viral, and it has now since been discredited. There's a website that actually went to work to find out if it was actually true, and they found out that it wasn't. The story went that this man married a woman after a whirlwind romance, and then when she got pregnant and gave birth to her firstborn, the baby was so ugly in the husband's eyes that he was convinced that she had an affair, because there was no way he could father a baby that ugly in his mind. How awful is that? According to the story, this caused the wife to confess that she had actually had major plastic surgery just before they met, and so she looked much different when they met than when she had been before. And then to make it worse, the newspaper found an unrelated picture, the newspaper that ran this story, found an unrelated picture that they thought should go with the article to make it more believable. And this picture was of a beautiful-looking couple with three children that look absolutely nothing like their parents. And that's when people started to question the truth of the article, which had said that the couple divorced after the first child was born. And then when it came out later that the picture had been stolen from an ad for a plastic surgery business which used that picture to promote their services, listen to this, with the caption, "The only thing that you have to worry about after plastic surgery is the explaining you will have to do to your children. Why do my parents look like models and I don't?" And then it came out that the mom in the picture was a model and was suing over the misappropriation of her image. And the whole thing, if you followed that, was absurd. From the false story to the unrelated picture that gets tied to the story, and then you find out that the picture was originally being used to promote plastic surgery by comparing beautiful models with not-so-beautiful children, in someone's opinion, which is a horrible thing to do, to say nothing about the original fake story of a father angry that his baby daughter is ugly. You can't make this stuff up. I guess you can, because that's what they did. But that's kind of the point. How do people even come up with this stuff? And the fake story is one thing, but the real picture that was using ugly children to promote adult plastic surgery? What does that say about our definition of beauty? For one thing, there's a lot of questions that come to mind, okay? What does it say about the kind of beauty that we as a people value? Beauty is attractive. We are drawn to it. But what kind of beauty? This episode with the newspaper and the plastic surgery ad is an example of the absurdity of how beauty is traditionally defined and valued and sought after. Our text shows us another kind of beauty and radiance. If people see worldly beauty as a means to acceptance, okay, as in plastic surgery to make myself desirable for marriage, according to the story, or I only accept my baby daughter if she looks okay, and while that was a fake story, it's a picture into the human nature regarding this. If people see worldly beauty as a means to acceptance, it doesn't last. It's fake. It's not the kind of acceptance and value that our soul longs for and needs. Our text shows us something else. Jesus took with him, it says, Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. Jesus and his disciples are about to begin now making their way to Jerusalem for the final time. This is likely still several months before Jesus will die and rise again, but that time is coming now. Jesus has been in public ministry for about 3 years, and the culmination of that, the culmination of a plan that God first announced in the Garden of Eden, is about to be set into motion all those years later. Jesus himself has announced it several times. Sometimes his announcements were more veiled than others. It's easy to blame the disciples for not understanding what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about his death, but we have to remember that we have the benefit of hindsight also. One of those times is in the previous chapter, chapter 16, verse 21 and following. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter, it says, took him aside and rebuked him. Can you imagine that, first of all? Okay, rebuking Jesus. This will never happen to you, Peter said. And then Jesus scolds Peter, calls him Satan as being the voice of what the devil would love to see, that that work of salvation would not happen. But this was how it had to be, for sin, death, and the devil to be defeated. So this wasn't so much Peter not understanding, it was him not accepting what he was hearing. All right? And then just after our text, in chapter 17 and verse 22, Jesus says it again. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And it says there that they were greatly distressed, grieved, sad. But in between these two mentions of the death of Jesus, we have the event in our text today. Jesus takes these three disciples with him up to the mountain, Peter, James, and John. Three of the first disciples, typically we understand that these are the three main leaders, the inner circle, if you will, of the disciples. Jesus brought them along and showed them things throughout his ministry that the others didn't see, and this is one of these occurrences now. And it says in verse 2 that he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Can you imagine this? What a scene! These disciples saw Jesus metamorphose. That's the Greek word. Do you hear it? Metamorphosis? Change into a totally different appearance. This was him displaying divine glory. We can't imagine that. We haven't seen Jesus face to face, like I said with the kids. Divine glory. And this is important because this, more than anything, reveals who Jesus was and is. It is this fact that Jesus displayed divine glory that reveals that he is divine, that he is God, and that that is what makes his work then effectual. You see, we don't say that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus isn't our Savior just because he said a lot of really smart things, okay, even though he did. That's not what makes him our Savior. He's not our Savior because he did a bunch of crazy miracles, even though he did. He is qualified to be Savior because he is also God. And those wise words and spectacular miracles, they testified to him being God, but it's that he is God that makes what he did actually work. He had to be God for his sacrifice to be perfect. He had to be perfect for his sacrifice to be accepted, and only God can be perfect. And friends, this is why I introduced this today like I did. Because you see, we are drawn to what is beautiful. Like I said, we want to be beautiful. We want to be accepted. We long for that, and we try so hard to get there. But the sad truth is that there is no beauty, there is no one person's approval here on this earth that can fill that void. We might think so, and it might feel like it for a while. Maybe a long while. You can lie to yourself that way. I'm telling you, it disappoints us in the end. And that's the truth. Whatever that other thing or that other person is that we yearn and desire acceptance from, to be beautiful for, it fails us. We fail ourselves when we try to gain acceptance and make ourselves look good to others, to God. Because the only beauty that God accepts into his presence is perfection. Do you hear that? The only beauty that God accepts into his presence is perfection. And we don't have to think very hard to know that that creates a problem. How many of you have perfect bodies? Before any wise guys say anything here, okay? The fact that the death rate in humans is 100% says that none of us have perfect bodies, okay? And it's not even about that. Our imperfect bodies are only an indication of a much bigger problem. We don't behave perfectly either. We learn that no matter how hard we try, we still make mistakes. We still sin, and pretty good doesn't count because God only accepts perfect. It's who he is, and nobody's changing that. But these three disciples, they catch a glimpse here of what perfect beauty looks like. Divine glory. What a sight it was for them. Face shone like the sun, clothes white as light, fellowship with those who have gone to heaven already. It was beautiful, and Peter was attracted to it. This is good, he says. I like this. Let's set up some tents and stay a while. Let's enjoy this. Have you ever been to a beautiful place you didn't want to leave? With a person you love that you didn't want to leave? A beautiful experience that you don't want to see come to an end? There's lots of examples. One that comes to my mind is the proverbial mountaintop experience that people, oftentimes it's youth, have at something like a Bible camp. They talk about their mountaintop experience, for example, at our National Youth Convention, which happens to be on a mountain. Okay? The phrase mountaintop experience is a reference to an event like that, where we catch a glimpse of divine glory, the beauty of Christ, and we like it. And we want that to stay. We want to stay there. We don't want it to end. But so often those times do end, don't they? We leave beautiful vacation destinations, we get separated from our loved ones for whatever reason, experiences come to an end, and in cases like these mountaintop Bible camp experiences, when that time ends, there's a letdown, and people think that they think that they fell away from God as they descended the mountain almost, okay? The beauty of God in their minds is only found on that mountain, and friends, there's several things wrong with that. It's thinking too small of our God and Savior. Peter and the other disciples didn't see the full beauty of what Jesus was about to do. They didn't like it when he talked about his death and resurrection. They didn't see that for the beauty that it is. Peter sees a really cool thing happen, and he says, I like this, let's stay, which is fine, but he's thinking too small. Before the words are even out of his mouth, it says, something else happens. There's more to this. A bright cloud overshadows them, and a voice says, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And catch this. When the disciples heard this, okay, they fell on their faces and were terrified. The beauty, the perfection, when they started to see and to realize and to hear the full gravity of what this actually was, it overwhelmed them. It was too much for them because now they are in the presence of the very voice of God. This is God declaring his pleasure with Jesus, his acceptance of Jesus, and that beauty is too much for us in our sinfulness. And so they fall on their faces terrified. But I want you to see. Look at what Christ does, okay? These disciples recognize their insufficiency and their unworthiness. And Jesus comes to them, it says, and he touches them. And listen to what he says. Rise and have no fear. This is why he came to this earth in the first place. To bring his perfect beauty to this earth and to this people that desperately need it. And that's exactly why he died, and it was the only way that he could give that perfect beauty to you. To take on your imperfection and to give you his perfection, his beauty. That's why he came. That's why he died, so that you would be accepted by God as well. He had to condescend to you, to become like you, to humble himself to the point of death, to bring that perfect beauty to where he could give it to you. He didn't stay up on the mountain. He came down. God doesn't stay up on the mountain. He comes down to you. He made himself lower than the angels, Hebrews says. He went even to the valley of the shadow of death, and because he did that for you, God's grace showered upon you through faith, you have that perfect beauty in Jesus. It's yours in him, so believe in him, friends. And you are accepted by a God who requires perfection because your life is hidden with Christ, it says, who is your life. You are infinitely loved and accepted more than you could ever hope for. Hear that today. You are infinitely loved and accepted more than you could ever hope for because of Jesus. Because he comes to you, reaches out to you, and says, "Do not fear." Peter and the disciples didn't see that whole picture yet. Jesus tells them here not to say anything to anyone until he rises from the dead. Why then? Because then they will see what this was all about in the first place. The whole reason why he came to save mankind, to give them eternal life, that a single episode like this happened to demonstrate that Jesus actually is divine, making what he was about to do good. It's the divinity of Jesus, if you ever notice this, if you study it. It's the divinity of Jesus that is attacked so often. This is one episode that shows us who Jesus is and the power of what he did. And Peter figured it out, by the way, as did the others. Peter wrote about this, actually, and Mr. Meske read it for us earlier in the book of 2 Peter. And listen to this. This is our hope. This is our truth. 2 Peter chapter 1. We do not follow cleverly devised myths. That's not Christianity here. We don't follow the world's definition of beauty and acceptance. We don't get caught up in, for example, the emotionalism of mountaintop experiences. Emotions are great, but we don't define our relationship with God on them or on how good we feel on a particular day or week or month. Our relationship with God is defined by Christ's perfection. Do you get that? And it's grand. And Peter says, we don't follow those clever myths, okay, because instead we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw that. We heard God's voice of approval and acceptance of Jesus on the holy mountain, he says, and we have this word confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention. This is my son, God says. Listen to him. We have this word. Arise and do not fear. A lamp, Peter describes it, shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The word of Christ is a lamp shining in a dark place. Do not fear. Why? How? Because Peter says this word is not man's word. This doesn't come from someone's own interpretation. This isn't just a happy-go-lucky, feel-good book that's fun to talk about around the campfire. This is produced by men who spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God, and the word of God demands perfection. That's the law. That's why some say Moses was there on the mountain, a representative of the law, and Elijah of the prophets, and then Jesus as the one who would fulfill that law and prophets. This is the word of God that demands perfection. It's the word of God that became flesh, that condescended to you to bring perfection, righteousness to you. It's the word that tells of Jesus, who says to you today, arise, do not fear. I have come to you to die for you, to rise again for you, to give you my perfection by grace through faith, so that when God sees you, he says, I am pleased with you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Open our eyes, Lord, to see you for who you are, as our Lord, as our King, as our Savior, our friend. All the different things that the kids rattled off today, that is who you are, and we know that to be true because your word has revealed it to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that we can know that it isn't a cleverly devised myth, but that these words came from you, and these words say that Jesus is your Son in whom you are well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him when he says that he must die, that he must rise again, for it was that path that he had to take, so that I could live, so that these people gathered here could live. Lord, open our ears to hear that and to receive it in faith. Open our mouth to share the good news of Christ with all who will hear. Jesus Christ, the one who came, the Son of God, who came to save. Lord, we thank you for this time together. I thank you for each person here. I pray that you would bless them richly. I pray that you would continue to watch over, protect, and keep us safe. We pray for those who are hurting today for whatever reason. Lord, we pray for Darlene and for healing in her ribs. We pray for Mabel, God, that you would heal her from this sickness. We pray for a girl named Sabrina, too, that her surgery would go well. Lord, I pray for our congregation. Continue to lead us and guide us. I pray that you would that you would continue to teach us, to refresh us, to encourage us in fellowship as we build one another up. I pray for our missionaries scattered all across the globe. Bless them, I pray. Think of our servicemen and women too, in harm's way so often. I pray for safety for them, that you would bring them home quickly if it would be your will. Lord, we think of the upcoming Lenten season, and I ask that you would use that time now in a mighty way in our hearts and lives. Use it to draw us closer to you, we pray. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise, receive God's benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.